Welcome in to the Sports Objective. I'm Dave Richmond. Glad to have you here tonight. A very special edition of the Sports Objective, especially if you love college basketball, life, NASCAR, anything else you want to talk about. I know our guest is he can handle any topic. So whatever you want, this is kind of like an open mic kind of situation, right, Bubba?
Yeah, very excited to welcome Coach Mack back into the show. Coach, how are you?
I'm great. Hope you guys are.
Definitely. We're very excited about to talk basketball. It's I guess it's kind of weird to say we're excited to talk about basketball because there's a lot of basketball not being played, including at my alma mater, East Carolina. Announced today again that the game, I guess it was on Saturday or Sunday this weekend with Wichita State, that's been postponed. So it's just been a crazy time. And I know you were talking to us right pre-show that you're going to be calling a whole bunch of games in the next 2 weeks, and we'll keep our fingers crossed that we get to watch Coach Mack.
Well, calling games is certainly a tentative word right now. I have had one game since Christmas. I've had 12 games canceled. Some were opt-out, some were COVID-related, and some just postponed. And now I've got a flurry here at the end. I've got a couple of East Carolina women's games on ESPN+. I've got an ACC Network women's game at Virginia Tech with North Carolina. And then I'll do the first six games of the CAA tournament, which has been moved from Washington, D.C. to Harrisonburg in their brand new arena at James Madison University. So excited about the possibility of calling some games. I had a flurry of games early in the season, and I was so glad to have them and to be in the arena calling them versus a remote broadcast.
Coach, a lot of the games you've done prior to Christmas, and you know, you hear lately you've had so many that have been canceled, but up to that point, I know Virginia Tech women were a lot of those, but who were some of the men's games, if any?
I had Virginia Tech men early in some non-conference games, and of course I've still been up there and gotten to see them play some games that I wasn't doing. So they've been two of the teams that until this week hadn't really had any COVID pauses, but the men have finally caught up with them a little bit, and they're on pause right now, which kind of hurts their momentum. They're one of the surprise teams, I think, in the ACC, and Virginia Tech women got off to a tough start in the league, and then they bounce back now and are playing as well as anybody. And I'm really looking forward to the North Carolina game. That could be a real big game. Louisville and NC State are the best two teams in the ACC for the women. But Virginia Tech is making a case for being in that top tier, if you will.
And taking a look at the men, what a job Mike Young has done there with the Hokies. Last I saw, what, they're ranked 18th?
Yeah, 18th.
So just talk about what
– Yeah, Coach Young, as far as
– Sorry, Dave, I had lag on my end.
That's okay. I was just going to say, Coach Mack, I was going to say, how about that recent win against UVA, that was pretty special there in Blacksburg, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah. If you're a Virginia Tech fan, it really makes you wish that we weren't having the COVID situation, because Castle would have certainly been just crazy that night. And to do it the way they were doing it, Virginia came into that game playing great basketball, and Virginia Tech kind of turned the tables on them and held them scoreless for 8 or 9 minutes in the second half and kind of blew the game open. But Mike Young, you all referenced him earlier, has done such a good job, and it's such a neat story. You know, he's from literally the shadows of the campus there in Blacksburg, and from over in Radford, Virginia, and went to school at Emory and Henry right down 81, and had such a great run at Wofford. He kind of took over as head coach after I left the Southern Conference, but he was an assistant there. I knew him, and obviously his boss, Coach Johnson, was the coach when Mike was the assistant. Now he's the AD, and Mike did such a good job. Wofford's a tough job. They've recently built a new building, but they had a bad facility, tough academics, very small school. But they got it going, and he certainly deserved an opportunity at a school near his hometown. And I don't think anybody would have predicted he'd have been doing these things this quickly unless you've been paying attention to what he's been doing in the past.
Coach, one of our viewers, Johnny Gardner, chiming in saying that he thoroughly enjoyed your book and it was a very entertaining read.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Last time, I guess we were talking about it just as it was coming out, and it's been going really well. The feedback has been unbelievable. It's just been so nice to hear people enjoy the book, and it brings back memories for them of something they experienced or something they at least had heard about. So I appreciate it, Johnny.
Absolutely, Johnny. And for fans just joining us, Coach, and maybe you missed that last broadcast we had with you, last interview, can you bring fans up to speed for the book? And we'll try to sell some books right now for you.
Well, that's always good. Somebody said, how many did you sell? I said, more than I thought I would, but less than I hoped I would. And that kind of remains the case. But yeah, during the first part of COVID, actually last year, almost to the day, I got shut down. I was on a plane on March the 12th. I guess, we're a couple weeks away from that day. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, I was pretty bored already with no live sports on TV and that kind of thing. So I set about writing a book with a young lady here in town, Bethany Bradshaw, who has written several books, several ECU type books. And we went through the process, wrote the book pretty quickly, but the publishing printing part of the book was something I had never experienced, but we got it out, came out about Labor Day, and it's really been fun to do all the research for the book, to talk to people, and so many people have responded as they bought the book and then let me know their feedback later on. So I really appreciate you guys having me on and let me mention that the last time and this time.
And as far as the book is concerned, now that you've written the first one, when's the second one coming out? I know there are people watching and listening. So I'm going to do the man on the street question. When's the next book coming out, Coach?
Well, as you guys know, the title of the book was what I'm about to tell you is the truth, or could be. We know the title of the second book. The second book will be called The Truth. And we'll tell all the stories that we couldn't tell in the first one. We'll see how long this COVID lasts. I may have to get to writing it again soon if we don't get to trend it in a better direction.
You're going to have enough for a trilogy at the rate we're going.
I hope I'm wrong about that. I hope you're wrong about that.
Me too. I'm joking. I'm joking, of course. But that's very excited for you with that. It's I haven't had a chance to read it, but I look forward to it because I know that you had story Dave? After story after story.
Come on, Dave.
What's that?
You got to read the book.
I know. I will. I promise I will. That is a great thing. That what you told us was definitely last time. A lot of great stories, and we'll definitely do it. Let's talk some college basketball. Certainly. One of the stories that comes to mind that's been talked a lot over the last 24 hours or so is Jalen Johnson opting out at Duke. I know that everybody's going to – that's another one that people will say, why didn't you ask Coach about that? So before I forget, I want to ask you about that. I think there's some criticism, fair, not fair, thrown out there. It's been a crazy year. Duke is not doing well as like a lot of people would think. I think the injury, there's several components, and I want to get your feedback on it. His injury that he had to, I believe his foot, he had a foot injury. I don't think he's 100%. So when you're not 100%, you're not able to contribute to Duke the way, at the level that you need to. The season is not going well, where they're not going to make the tournament unless they win the ACC tournament, looks like. I don't think there's going to be an NIT. So if you look at, personally, from his perspective, what does he have? And I know this sounds terrible because fans maybe that love Duke and, obviously love college basketball. What does he have to play for other than he could get injured more?
Yeah, it's really it's not a good situation for anybody. I think a lot of the problem has come with just how it was presented to everyone. But you mentioned the injury that wasn't talked about. You do have to take care of yourself. His playing time had gone down. Was it injury related? Was it just performance related? And I see the people that have been trashing him on social media and that kind of thing. Well, he went to three schools in 3 years in high school, and now he's quitting again. It's the AAU syndrome. And I don't necessarily think it's any of those things by themselves. It's probably a combination of all this. I mean, several kids have opted out, and he could have certainly opted out and you know, said, hey, you know, I'm not comfortable in with the way things are going. And of course, doing it this late would probably raise some eyebrows, and he's going to get some extra scrutiny from the NBA folks because of this. But, you know, to start casting aspersions toward him or toward Coach K, the Duke program, college basketball in general, you know, probably people ought to just buy their time and bite their tongue a little bit and see this thing play out. But it is a bad trend for college basketball. I you know, there's so many things going on in college sports right now, period. You've got the name, image, likeness situation, which nobody has explained to me exactly how that's going to work. And you got people saying we must have it. You got people saying it'll be the end of college sports as we know it. You've got the transfer portal, and people are saying the same thing about that. I'm not a big fan of the transfer portal or some of the transfer rules that they have. I think it's going to make for a lot of chaos that, you know, and some unintended consequences. And I'm afraid the NIL is going to be the same way. But there's so many issues right now. And I think everybody probably ought to push back a little bit from the table and just take a little time and let this play out.
How much is this? Obviously, this is one question that comes to mind. Obviously, if Duke is winning, this is one question I'm going to throw at you. Do you think he opts out, or is it? I mean, that's the thing that it's hard to know what a kid is really going through. And some people say it may be attitude, it may be the playing time, but the reality is that, like I said, they're not going to the tournament unless they win out at ACC, and they're not. We haven't heard officially, but do you think one of the questions I had for you tonight? Will there be an NIT? Because I haven't heard anything to say they won't, but it doesn't look like with NCAA owning the NIT now that they will.
Yeah, I heard today that they were going to have it and that there were going to be 16 teams and they were all going to come to New York like the old days. They did that up until the mid-70s. And I think I saw John Feinstein maybe had that today on his Twitter feed or maybe in a column or whatever. But it looks like they're going to go back and do that. So, you know, as a fan of basketball, I'm excited about that. And back to Jalen Johnson just for a second, it kind of was the perfect storm. You know, Duke's not playing well. You know, he wasn't performing at a high level. The COVID situation, the foot injury. I think it was just a combination of all those things. You know, and then I don't think it got presented to the public in the very best possible light for sure.
Coach, another thing that I want to add, get your thoughts, something that I'm very critical of with college basketball. For me, another thing that bothers me is the one and done rule. I wanted to go back the way it was. I mean, can you imagine LeBron James, I mean, one of the best players ever to play the game, having to play 1 year? I just feel like that I know that when we had Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News on our show, he talked about for the fact with Duke and Kentucky, for example, having a lot of, you know, players that are freshmen, you're relying on a lot of freshman players. You don't get the non-conference games that you normally would get, or it's reduced amount. Then you're going into conference play. You've had to start, stop. A lot of the stuff that's going on with COVID, and you talk about the perfect storm. It's been the perfect storm for a lot of these freshman players that normally would have a lot of games to get their feet underneath them, so to speak, and this year they don't have it.
No, you bring up a really good point, but it goes even much deeper than that. It wasn't the very best of recruiting classes overall. There were some misses for sure. But think about this. None of them got to enroll mid-year like some of them normally do. None of them got the summer on campus to work out and be with the coaches and to go through that process and to work the 8 hours a week or whatever they're allowed to work, including the weight room and all that. None of that happened. Then you got to the fall and everybody was on a different agenda. You know, some people were working normally. Some people weren't. Some people were working in small groups. They didn't get any of that. No international tours. You think of how big that's such a big part of college basketball for a young basketball team to take those newcomers and play overseas for 2 weeks and get in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games in a couple weeks. And then in the fall, nothing happens. You get, you know, you may have had a pause in the fall. Maybe you didn't, but you also didn't get any exhibition games or scrimmages. Now, basically it's, you know, almost all scrimmages, but you didn't get any of those. And then, like you mentioned, you get into the season, you don't get that non-conference schedule that you normally get. Even the teams that played some non-conference games played a limited number of non-conference games. And then the disruptions continue. So, again, I think it's the perfect. I saw a note the other day, the top 13 winningest programs of all time, according to the AP poll, none of them are in the top 20. That's incredible. And it has a lot to do with how this season has been administered, if you will.
No question. It's a crazy time. Here's one question I had for you, being a former coach. Do you think one of the things that I want to see happen for the sake of universities, period, but our coaches, players, staff, the whole nine yards, I believe they're essential. I believe that we should get the basketball, football, baseball, all the athletes, college students, period, get everybody vaccinated, because that's one of the things that would help our, especially not just for this year, because we're almost done with this year for basketball. But as far as baseball season, either spring sports, you have the fall sports where those folks didn't get to play and then now they're playing now. But for me personally, I'm hoping that they'll go ahead and give the shots to that, because in come fall, for our program at East Carolina, we need butts in the seats for Dowdy-Ficklin.
Yeah, and those are really tough choices, you know, when you've got healthcare workers and teachers and the elderly and people with, existing conditions and then the folks that help the healthcare people and all the caregivers and first responders and there are just so many groups of people that really do need it. And I think that'd be a tough sell. But I think the good news is it does look like at least we're trending toward getting a whole bunch of vaccines and getting them sooner than we expected. So I think that's the good news on that regard. Let me go back to your other point one more time, Dave, on the one and done thing. I don't know why, and we may have discussed this before because I've certainly voiced my opinion on it. I don't know why college basketball can't have the same rule as college baseball.
Thank you.
If you want to go pro, go pro. That's fine. That there is no problem with that. If you're good enough to go play in the NBA or overseas or wherever, that's fine. But if you don't go, stay in college for 3 years.
Thank you.
And now you've got continuity in the programs. There's so many college programs now. I used to be able to name the starters, who was coming back, who they had signed. Now I have to literally look at the rosters, and I'm paying attention. And you have to still look at the roster to know who's on the team. And you lose the fans. You lose the fans without continuity of a roster. And of course, the transfer portal is going to contribute to that too.
And how I know for football, it's been a disaster for you. Got players that are definitely left high and dry because they're in the transfer portal. Nobody picks them up. I would imagine with all the stuff, the extra year of eligibility, something else I wanted to ask you about. But I know with Joe talking recently in the last week or so, there's going to be some tough conversations with these guys. They get an extra year of eligibility because you didn't have the tournament. But yet, I mean, how do you pay for scholarships? There's just so many. I guess the three of us could do a show for hours and hours just discussing the problems with college basketball. I am excited that I was telling somebody last week, Coach, the very fact that we have a season at all, I think is a huge miracle. So I've been counting my blessings that we're able to watch television, watch games on television and listen to our good friend Jeff Charles and Cy Seymour as well.
Yeah, two of the good guys. And you think back to the fall when they made plans for college basketball. It was with the assumption that COVID would be more under control.
Right.
I mean, just the opposite. So all that we're going through, that this wasn't the plan for handling that. We thought things would be winding down and things would be getting better, and that hasn't been the case. And it is amazing that we've played as many games as we have, even though I cringe every morning when I get the list of games that night and see how many are postponed or canceled.
How do we bounce back? For me personally, what I'm hearing by the experts is that sometime in July, we'd have herd immunity. And then by September, after wearing a mask for two more months, maybe September, is when things would finally be eradicated. That's the goal. But there are a lot of people, thankfully, I think, coach, that want the shot, so that by that point we will be closer. My point, the reason I bring that up, not only in football, but I think that you're going to be calling a lot of basketball next year. I think basketball will be in really good shape if we can just suffer. That's probably not the word, because we have people that are suffering with COVID and family members have lost. But as far as a fan perspective, of an announcer's perspective, like your case, we're having a tough time this year. Not, we've never had to deal with this before.
Yeah, if everybody would, like you mentioned, suffer, maybe it's sacrifice or, be a good team player or whatever the case may be. But I get my second shot tomorrow, knock on wood, which I'm excited about. And I think we do have a chance to go into the fall with a whole lot healthier situation. I was looking at some numbers today because people have been staying in, because people have been wearing masks. The flu is like, just a very small number compared to what it usually is. It's incredible how few cases there are. Even just the common cold has been almost eradicated. People have been a year without even having a cold because of not going out, not being in being in a social distance place and wearing the mask. I don't care if I keep wearing the mask if it can keep everybody healthy, to be honest.
I've gotten used to, I don't like anything on my face at all. But the very fact that I work in healthcare, and what kind of a person would I be if I don't wear a mask, a big time hypocrite. So, whatever we have to do as far as, the rules of the game, the transfer ish situation, the one time transfer rule, I'm not in favor of. I'm worried about the part of the game I'm worried about is we already have a lot of transfers to begin with. And then if you allow one-time transfers, that's, it seems like what I'm looking for, I guess what's missing for me right now, even pre-COVID, is the stability of the game. I love the game of college basketball. I love basketball. And it just seems like that there's been, I guess, an elephant in the room or problems we've had that hopefully we can, on the other side of COVID, maybe we'll do better.
Yeah, I feel the same way about the transfer portal deal and the one-time waiver and all that. I just don't think it's going to be good for the sport. I think it'll be, like I mentioned earlier, I think there'll be a lot of chaos, and I think you'll see people recruiting off other people's rosters, either directly or indirectly through high school or AAU coaches or families or some other kind of connection. I just am not in favor of that because I long for the days where we had continuity of rosters. And people keep bringing up, the disparity between the players not making any money, which they do make some money, and the coaches who are making crazy numbers. And I understand that. I understand that's a really bad look, but that can be addressed on both ends of the situation too. It doesn't have to just be from the bottom up.
Coach, the stories of the year in basketball this year and in the college game have been, of course, Gonzaga and then Baylor. What a tremendous job, and Scott Drew and then Mark Few have done with those clubs. Baylor last year, and they were 26-4, and then a real contender when everything got shut down. And then, this year they're 17-0, so that's pretty crazy to think that they've won 43 out of their last 47 ball games, and they're something like 24-3 in the Big 12. So just talk about what he's done in Waco. He's obviously done a tremendous job because he's been there, what, 17, 18 years now, and that program was really on rough times and gone, having gone through a lot of stuff off the court when he took over, and they've really taken it to another level the last 2 years.
Yeah, considering the scandals and all that had gone on prior to Scott getting there, and even some stuff after he got there with the football program and all that, it's been amazing. I think it's all due to Fixer Upper. I think Chip and Joanna have really straightened that thing out there. But he has done an incredible job, and they've been paused. They're going to play on the 23rd. They're scheduled to play on the 23rd. That will be 21 days that they haven't played. So who knows what they'll look like? We've seen teams come back like Florida State and look like all world. We've seen teams like Clemson come back and look like they can't beat anybody. You know, the different teams react differently to these pauses, but they sure have a lot to play for. And it's easily, in my mind, it's easily Gonzaga and Baylor and everybody else, even though there are some teams hanging around like a Michigan who was on pause, and maybe even Illinois and Ohio State, maybe three Big Ten teams might be in that mix to see who else joins them at the Final Four.
Speaking of the Big Ten, big game this weekend. Is it Saturday or Sunday? Maybe Sunday, but Michigan, Ohio State. Michigan has had to wait forever. It seems like a long time. They've had what a great job, top five program. And they've got a big game certainly coming up this weekend with Ohio State.
Yeah, and both of them playing well. Nobody knew how Michigan was going to respond to the pause, and they came out and they didn't play well for a little while, but made a big comeback and beat a good Wisconsin team on the road. Ohio State's an interesting team. Again, an older team. Both of these teams are older teams, which I think that's helping them handle this unusual situation. Ohio State really takes care of the ball. They get to the free throw line more than anybody in the country. They're very good offensively, and Chris Holtman's done a great job there, and they play really, really hard. Of course, Illinois, with the great player in the middle, great player on the perimeter, and what a good job, coach has done out there too. They have turned that thing around. Illinois was a punchline for a while, and now here they are. People are talking about them being one of the teams that could make it to the Final Four.
Yeah, think about that 2005 team. Of course, lost them in the title game in 2005. Was really good, and it's been a while for Illinois to be back at in the conversation of one of the best in the nation, right, Coach?
Yeah, for sure. Back, Coach Henson was there, and of course the Michigan with the Fab Five and all that they had going on. Of course, Ohio State has a long time history, but Illinois in particular had kind of bottomed out, and now they're back where their fans think they should be.
Loyola's having a tremendous season once again, Coach. The Ramblers, and then you also have Winthrop. Obviously, folks remember longtime college basketball fans what they did under Greg Marshall. Drake started off 18-0, and they've lost at least one now. But who are some of those Cinderellas and stories like that you could see making a run this year?
Yeah, you mentioned three of the really good lower major teams that lower major. Who knows what you should be called, but they're some of the ones. I think there are probably a couple in the in the A-10 that could be in that group. Of course, the A-10, it's hard. They kind of are a power conference in basketball, but they still don't get that publicity. But St. Louis is awfully good. St. Bonaventure is awfully good. Mike Rhodes has VCU playing really good basketball. Dayton was playing better earlier in the season, but I think some of those folks could make a run. Winthrop, like you mentioned, is really doing a good job with Coach Kelsey, and Drake has had an amazing year. They lost their best player. He transferred out. Can't even remember. I think he went somewhere in the Big Ten. I'm not sure. And then before this weekend, they lost their leading scorer, and they lost the first game to Loyola, and then bounced back. I think they won the second game. I think they split on the weekend. I should have looked at that before I got on the show with you guys.
That's all right. No problem. Coach, one of the questions I had for you as far as living in ACC country, what's going on with ACC being down this year?
That's a great question. I do think it's down. The games have been competitive. There have been some great games and some great performances, but nobody's been extremely good, and a lot of it has to do with inconsistent offense. You see North Carolina look like world beaters and then score 48 points, and Virginia has really been good. Tony Bennett's record, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it, Tony Bennett's record is so much better over the last 4 years than anybody else. It's just incredible what he has done. But they have some real limitations offensively, and they can't get in a game that's going to be in the 80s, I don't think, and beat many people. But, of course, they don't get in the games in the 80s very much because they do play great defense. But I think they have some serious faults. Florida State, I think, is the most talented team in the league. And when they make shots, nobody else in the league can beat them, but they don't make shots every single night. Virginia Tech has been really good. I thought they were going to be better than people thought, but when they lost the Jada, the point guard transfer from Kansas State, I thought that was really going to set them back. But Mike Young has put some Band-Aids on that thing, and Keve Aluma, who transferred from Wofford with Mike Young, is one of the candidates for Player of the Year. But it is a down year in the ACC. There's no question. You can't argue about that. Even if you're an ACC fan, you can't argue that.
In the American, coach, obviously Houston, the Pirates were able to knock them off. So was Tulsa prior to that. But they've obviously led the way in the AAC. But talk about Wichita State. Do you think what direction do you see the Shockers going? Do you think they'll pull the interim tag, or do you think they'll make another hire?
I think it's going to be awful tempting, and of course, a lot of it may depend on how the season finishes too. But they're playing really good basketball. He's proven he can win, and you know that there was certainly some. There was certainly something good about the continuity of Greg Marshall and the Greg Marshall style of basketball that. You know, that led them to being a nationally ranked team every single year. And can they capitalize and continue that while cleaning up what they didn't like about the Greg Marshall style of play? I think it's possible. I really do. And of course, the American, you know, whether you're talking about football or basketball, is sometimes underappreciated. I think this year they kind of got their due a little bit in football. There were so many good teams. And I'm starting to think that basketball might be the same way.
Coach, as far as East Carolina is concerned, being that you've coached there, the Pirates start out like gamebusters, like 7-1, and then the whole COVID situation happens beginning of the year. Really proud of Coach Dooley. Of course, the big top five win against his 200th win against Kelvin Sampson's team there recently. And, of course, we have another stoppage in that. How can Coach Dooley, with all the craziness that's going on, how can he build momentum? We know that he's doing a good job. The program is, I feel like, heading in the right direction. I just want to get your thoughts on how do you – I guess you're at this point you're making lemonade, right?
Yeah. And he's done an incredible job. He's got a good staff. They have hung the kids in there. They've kept the kids hanging in there. We talk about continuity of roster. They returned. They were in the top five of percentage of production returning from the previous season. And that's just huge. And I think that's one of the overlooked things that Joe has done is add stability to the roster. And in the meantime, you keep getting better because of that. Have they won as many games as they'd like to? No. But are they clearly headed in the right direction? I don't think anybody would argue with that. But I think that's the key. Can they keep everybody and bring them back for another year when things are a little more normal? If he does that, then we'll be talking about him in the top third, top fourth of this league.
And how do they get, Coach, how do they get that very thing is to break it's kind of like a wall. How do you bust through the wall and get through to that next level? There's obviously went from a very difficult league as far as the guys just getting blown out every night, run off the court every night. You start to see some things even with Dooley here from the second time around 3 seasons ago. He started with guys that didn't have the talent in American, but he played hard-nosed defense. They were very competitive. They stayed in the games. But now you're starting to slowly see, especially in the one thing I was really impressed with, Coach, want to get your thoughts on the non-conference games where you're winning and you're doing very well against them, and now you're starting to win those conference games, which, man, there were some times we go a long, long time without winning a conference game in the past.
Yeah, I think there are two or three steps to this. Now, and I think some of the steps have already been taken. Do they consistently play hard? You all have watched them. I think I can totally answer in the affirmative there, right? They always play hard. Second thing is, do they compete? And that's a little different than playing hard. Do they really compete? You know, individually and collectively, do they compete? And I think the answer there is yes. Do they have continuity on the roster? it's huge. You look at the teams that are winning right now, they're older teams. Older teams can make deep runs in the tournament because of the experience. And then the fourth piece of that is the recruiting. And I think each year you see that talent level come up. You saw Joe get bigger and longer. You saw him get more athletic. And now you're seeing him bring more skill in. And as they bring more skill in to match the size and athleticism, I think you see them take that next step that you're talking about.
One of the big things that Bubba and I have been talking a lot about, Coach, last year and this year, it helped me. How can the one thing that was starting to improve and then it's been hurt a lot, maybe because of the stop starts of COVID, we can blame everything on COVID anyway. But the 3-point shooting has been something that has been really tough. Last year, we looked at the number of games that the Pirates were in. If they make a couple more 3-pointers, we win. You can make an argument about that this year. And how can you improve the 3-point shooting? I mean, is that something, is that skill? Is it shooters? Or, I mean, what, that's something that has been Achilles heel for the last two seasons, it feels like.
Yeah, it's all about recruiting. You know, people talk about working on free throws. You can work on free throws all you want. Go recruit some guys that can really shoot the ball. And I think you're starting to see that a little bit more. They have been, to your point, inconsistent in that. But again, I think the recruiting is the answer. And Joe Dooley is one of the very best. He's got a great staff, Steve Rockefort and all the guys. I really think you'll see them. I think they'll address that area. Everything had to be addressed when he got here. Everything.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Now we're just talking about getting some more shooters, right?
Right. What's the next step? Would you say for it may most likely not be this season, but how do you get to the next level as far as a postseason with the NIT? I thought we were going to be, and I really believe before COVID hit us, we were headed in the direction to be the bubble team for the NIT before I knew that they were only going to have, I guess, the 16 teams. But how do you get to that next level, breaking through to a tournament like the NIT and of course the Big Dance?
And I think again you've seen a little bit of that from Coach Dooley and his staff that you know the first couple of years they struggled to beat non-conference people that they should be beating. Then they started beating them, but it was a struggle. Now this year, they pretty comfortably won those non-conference games and didn't have a lot of opportunity to do that. But establish that winning in the non-conference part of the schedule, get Minji's filled up, get the Williams Arena rocking in there for conference games. They've shown they can beat the very best team in the league, so why wouldn't that place be full every single night? And then, like we talked about, bring those shooters in and be a little bit more consistent on the offensive end and not have to rely on defense and rebound and athleticism and effort every single night to pull you through.
And of course we've gotten bigger, as you talked about the athletic part, long and definitely athletic, and you're talking about the skills recruiting. If you were, what needs do you think the Pirates have now? Would it be the big man? Or what would you say that seems like we're pretty good on pretty a lot of depth at guard?
Yeah, I think the way the game is today, it's almost positionless anyway. Bigs need to be able to shoot. Guards need to be able to shoot. It's 3-point centric game, and the more good shooters you can put on the floor, the better chance you have to win. You don't want to be on offense and play it against 4-on-5 or 3-on-5 because you've got a couple guys out there who can't make shots when they're open. It makes the defense's job a whole lot easier. But the more shooters you put on the floor, the better chance you have of being a consistent offensive team night in and night out.
There we go. We had some technical difficulties, a lag there. I don't know what happened, but anyway, okay. Coach, I tell you what, it's an exciting time. Want to get your thoughts going into, I know we're finishing up, obviously, with, I guess, the regular season. It seems like we don't know when the regular season is. As far as the, I wanted to ask you about the big dance, your thoughts, conference tournaments. I feel like they'll be played with no fans. What about the NCAA? What are your thoughts on Indianapolis, before I forget, being the, it's not a true bubble. I don't know. We're having trouble, obviously, with tonight. I don't know what the internet, so to speak. We'll see what we can do with Coach Mack. We'll see if we can get him back.
I'm here. Y'all were frozen.
Get Coach Mack back on. That's been one of those nights. We'll see. It's exactly like COVID-19.
Exactly.
We'll do our very best to see if we can get Coach back on for sure. Coach, are you there?
I can see you now. Yep. I can see you and hear you. Now you're frozen again.
There we go. There we go. I think we got Coach back now.
Okay. I can hear you.
All right. There we go. There we go. I got you back now. I was asking about Indianapolis. So what are your thoughts on the tournament?
Well, I think it's a good spot. You know, obviously they have a lot of venues right there in the metropolitan area. Like you mentioned, it won't be a true bubble, but it'll be as close as you can get with that many teams. So I think they've done exactly what they need to do, and I think a lot of smart people are putting this together. You know, Dave Gavitt's son is running this thing, and I think that's probably a smart move. The part that's going to be really interesting, though, are two things. Number one, what are we going to do with the conference tournaments? Are we going to play? Are the people going to opt out? Are they going to be allowed to opt out? Or what's going to happen with those? And the second piece of that is what happens if a team does test positive in that final 68. What are the protocols then? Is the team that they played against affected? What do you do with the brackets? Do you reseed? I've got a lot of questions.
Well, one of the questions I had for you, Coach, is that very thing. Let's say what I'm interested in, and I want to get your thoughts on this. What I'm interested in, I think once you get to the Sweet 16, you can kind of move things around, and I feel like that you can make, if it's down to the final eight, final four, you can kind of move things around as far as a day here, a day there. My concern is that very first weekend, when you have all the games in the first week, if you will, I know with the 68, but that's my concern, is how does that play out when the very fact you talked about, do they say, I'm sorry that you know, team tested positive, they're going to be out of commission for a week or two. Do we go to another team, the next team out, and bring them in? I don't know. That's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, the teams have to pass, I think, six consecutive tests before they get to Indianapolis. And that's just before they get there. So if somebody does test, do they go down to the 69th team or the 70th team? I don't know what the protocol will be there. And then after they get there, what happens with a positive test? Is that team just out, or is the team they played out also due to contact tracing? Like I said, I've got more questions than answers. I think they're doing what they need to do, but I think a lot of things have to go right for this thing to look like it should look.
And Coach, as far as last year, we can't go 2 years without the tournament. I think everybody can agree, no matter what part of the game, if you're a fan, you're a coach, you're part of a staff, administration, as far as at a school with the athletic department. I can't imagine having 2 years. If they go 2 years without the tournament, there's going to be a lot of big problems that, for as far as college sports are concerned. I don't even want to entertain that. That would be a scary time. We've already had enough tough times. A lot of people that are really down personally and professionally for many reasons, but definitely that they're going to have to find a way to do it. Don't you think, with fans? Would you, here's another question I had for you that comes to mind. Would you be in favor if hypothetically, let's say that a number of teams can't play, would you be in favor of pushing the tournament back a few weeks?
I don't think that would be a terrible thing. The biggest part of this deal is the television money. That's what is at stake, because the NCAA, 95% of their budget comes from March Madness. Nobody right. realizes they don't get any football money. That goes to a whole different deal. The basketball money runs the NCAA. They have to have that, and they share that money. They share that money with – that's how they share money with the schools. So the schools get hit big time if they don't get that money, especially the non-Power 5 teams really do. But pushing it back might be something they have to do. And as far as the fans, they've already said it's going to be just guests of the players only, three or four or whatever it is per player and per coach and that kind of thing. So it's going to be very limited. Fan attendance is not going to impact the bottom line, the money at all. That's going to be the just television money is what is at stake.
And Coach, with us right now, we have Kyle from LaGrange Barber. I think, are you going to make him stay after practice and run, Coach, for being late?
Kyle, what is the deal here? We've been waiting on you.
Sorry, Coach. I had a pre something engagement. I don't know. I'm late. I got a question about the NCAA tournament. It's being held in Indianapolis, right?
Yep.
So what happens to the cities that bid on it that were supposed to have it last year and this year? Is NCAA going to have to make good on that in the future?
Yeah, I think it'll just be kicked down the road. That's happening in some conference tournaments. I think Chicago's conference Chicago was supposed to host the Big Ten, and they've already moved their tournament to Indianapolis too. And they're hoping that their team can just stay there, the teams that are involved in the tournament. But yeah, that'll get kicked down the road. They'll get a payback down the road for sure.
Yeah.
And that very thing is the fact that we can just have a tournament, right, Coach? After last year, the two things for a sports fan last year I've said all along, 1A and 1B, number one, well, conference tournament slash big dance for basketball, college basketball, and for the baseball season to be canceled, as good as East Carolina, but not having no College World Series and having no big dance really hurt, and conference tournaments for that matter.
Yeah, I called a couple games in the CAA tournament before, and they got their tournament finished up. But I was literally on a plane on March the 12th headed to the Sun Belt tournament in New Orleans and got word that everything was being canceled. And we talked our way off the plane in Raleigh and were able to come home. And on the way home, I get a call saying, hey, by the way, you shook hands with an official who had the virus and you'll be quarantined for the next 2 weeks. And once I've been with my wife, so now we're both quarantined. That's how we kicked off this COVID thing. But yeah, it had a big impact on us right away. But it was so dramatic in that, if it occurred at a different time, it would have been quite as dramatic. But right before conference and March Madness, it got everybody's attention and said, whoa, this is something very, very serious.
Mike, you said you shook hands with an official that had the virus. Obviously, we're hard to believe about a year out. We're COVID's old hat now. We all, you found out somebody had it, you ain't that scared anymore because, the virus seems to not be as deadly at this point as it was early on. But early on, you heard about people getting it, like country artist Joe Diffie got it and died. And if people were dropping off like flies, it seemed like most people that were getting it were dying. How scared were you when, early on when you found out you came in contact with it?
Well, we just didn't know at that point. We knew it was out there. We knew it was serious, but we didn't have any idea what it was going to morph into, Kyle. It was, we very routinely came on home, really literally stayed in the house for 2 weeks. And of course, every single day you found out more and more about it and how bad it really was going to be.
Yeah. And like I was saying, it's hard to believe that we're basically a year into this, and you just keep thinking it's going to be all right. You know, all right, my basketball season, yeah, we'll be back to normal. And then, you know, and now right now we're still doing it. We're still having the conversation. Well, my football season, we ought to be able to at least have 50% capacity. You know, and it just seems to keep going and going.
Yeah, we had that conversation, Kyle, with all the plans that were made for how we're playing basketball or trying to play basketball were made with the assumption that it was going to be better by basketball season. And instead, it's been worse for basketball season. So it's kind of amazing that we've been able to play as many games as we have, to be honest.
Yeah, what happened was, you know, two things, I think, with Christmas, everybody, you know, went around friends and family, and
Thanksgiving
started spreading it left and right with the holidays. And then obviously just winter months, viruses just tend to spread more, whether it be COVID or anything else, just tend to spread more during winter months.
Yeah, we talked about that. We haven't been very disciplined as coaches. We wouldn't be happy with the discipline that the population has shown in general.
I think people are just getting tired of it. You can only have so much for so long, and people are just tired of it. It's fatigue. It's COVID fatigue.
No question about that.
Well, I tell you what, when you get sick and, like the old saying goes, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, then we'll be finally through with this thing. Coach, I want to remind fans again, they're just joining us, about your book, because I am going to read it. That's my homework. I'll read it before the next time we have you on. We'll have you on, obviously, coming up in the next month or so, hopefully when we can have conference tournaments and the like, and definitely with the Big Dance. But remind fans about your book again with you and Bethany Bratcher. That's you got a great lady that helped you out.
No question. She was a lifesaver. She guided me through all kind of mistakes on my part. But yeah, Bethany was great. She's written some great books. Her last one about the big rock, the fish turbot, is just amazing. If you haven't read it, you need to. But yeah, you can still get mine at MacMcCarthy.com. MacMcCarthy.com. We've got a few left.
All right. And obviously, I want to remind folks that where can people watch and listen to you?
I'm going to be on ESPN Plus for the next couple games on Saturday and Wednesday with the ECU women. Then I'll be on the ACC Network Extra in Blacksburg on the 28th. And then the CAA is on Flow Sports. A lot of people, you know, that are big sports fans get it, but not everybody gets Flow Sports. But I'll be doing the six games in the CAA tournament from Harrisonburg, Virginia, James Madison University, on Flow Sports with Dave Ryan, outstanding announcer for CBS.
Yes. Like him a lot. Well, Coach, thank you so much. You stayed. I know you probably were ready to get off. Thank you so much.
Hold on. I want to ask Coach Mack one question here. This is non-related to basketball. It's kind of an odd question. Coach Mack, if I remember correct, you were good friends with Mr. Belding?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay. Have you had a chance to talk to him since the passing of Dustin Diamond? I wonder what his reaction was.
His reaction to what, Kyle?
The passing of Dustin Diamond, his co-star on Saved by the Bell, played screen.
Yeah, you know, Dennis posted a little something on Facebook, and Dennis hasn't been very active on social media lately. He's had a few health problems, and that was the first time anybody's heard from him for a while. We haven't talked in quite a while, and we talked once a week probably, during our closest time. But he's been struggling a little bit health-wise, and I know that bothered him. That whole bunch, especially that first class, really was. They were very, very close and stay in constant contact, no matter whether things are going good or bad for each of them.
Yeah, and Dustin and him. Dustin was his co-star for several seasons. He was the vice principal eventually on the new class.
Right.
So yeah, I'm sorry to hear he's in poor health. Also, that's sad news.
He's a good dude.
No doubt. What was your thoughts on the Daytona 500? We probably Bill that you would talk about NASCAR.
How long can we talk? You know, there were 5 million possible great stories to come out of that weekend. You could have had the Bubba Wallace, Michael Jordan. You could have had the Pitbull, Daniel Suarez thing. You could have had Bowman in the 48, which hadn't won. You could have had you had Truex winning three in a row. But Michael McDowell, you could have had the Wood Brothers winning their 100th with Matt DiBenedetto. That would have been a great one. There are so many stories that could have been great stories, but Michael McDowell is pretty cool because the guy can drive. He's never been in great equipment. He's always a threat at the restrictor plates, and he's a threat on the road course too. Him starting up front next week on the road course, look out for him. If his equipment lasts and he can hang in there and not make a silly mistake, he could be in the mix next week too, which is just insane to think about because he can run almost 400 races without ever winning.
Yeah, I told somebody, I said, what a baby face story, to use a wrestling term. Hadn't won a race. You've been running NASCAR on and off since, what, 08?
14 years, yeah.
Close to 400 races. Wins his first race at Daytona. Gets out of the car, goes and gets the checkered flag, has the American flag on his helmet. I mean, he immediately got a lot of fans just by doing that in today's age. Having the flag on his helmet, he won a lot of people over.
He can go fast. He's a really nice Christian young man. He's got the whole package. He'll become a whole lot more popular. Matt DiBenedetto kind of went through that the last couple of years, but McDowell, I think I think he's about to get a whole lot of fans too.
Yep.
All right. Well, Coach, we know you have a lot of fans as well. Thank you so much. Appreciate you for coming on. A lot of fun as always, and we look forward to having you back on in a few weeks to talk some more basketball.
I love doing it. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Coach. Hope you have a good night. All right. That's Coach Mac McCarthy. Appreciate him as always for being on the show. And now it's down to me and Kyle. Kyle, brother, appreciate you very much for coming in. And definitely I was excited. We've got we had Coach Houston on. Remember that? And he was talking about obviously having the recruitment coordinator. Do you remember that? And certainly with player personnel.
Sure.
And Derek Miller named ECU director of football player personnel and recruiting. And sounds like Coach Houston got another great hire. What did you think?
I haven't had a chance to see that, Dave. I've been busy all afternoon. That's the reason why I'm late coming up to the podcast. What's his background?
Well, he's put together a lot of great recruiting classes, including at LSU. There's some stops there. I remember reading that, but that comes to mind. But if you get a chance, check it out, because I'm really proud of Coach Houston. And, had J.P. Gunner. That's fantastic. But now having a great hire, I believe, Derek Miller. And certainly we were disappointed. We talked about at the top of the show, Kyle, that East Carolina has to postpone another game, the Wichita State game, this weekend. So we've got another game because of COVID that we've lost.
Yeah, I did see that. At this point, I'm wondering, do you just get ready for the conference tournament? I mean, I don't know what to do at this point. That's a shame. The second half of this basketball season has been a disaster, with the exception of that Houston game. So it's disappointing, but hopefully we can get healthy in time for the conference tournament, at least, if not before. And, this is out of hand. At some point, Dave, to hear that many players on the damn basketball team, at some point everybody's got to be a good
guy. Kyle's coming off the bench. Kyle Barber, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I'm saying, Kyle, you know what I'm saying? You would think it would have ran through the damn team by now. My goodness. I mean, you think everybody would have had it, but it's irritating, but it's just the way things have kind of gone all basketball season. Hopefully the baseball team, we're still playing baseball Friday, right? That hasn't changed, has it?
Yes, we are. And by the way, Bubba's actually going to talk to head coach
where you are right tomorrow.
And then we're having on Thursday, we've got a really cool show. We're going to have, obviously, you'll have from the University of Rhode Island head coach. We'll have Thursday morning, late morning, we'll have Coach Cliff Godwin, Matt Bridges, Seth Goodell. We'll have their comments, and we're going to have a big show on Thursday. By the way, folks, I want to remind you that we had a great 23 Jungle Tales today with Coach Tommy Eason. He's the current head coach at Pitt Community College. Go back and listen to that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I missed that, Dave. I wanted to take part. I actually, lived right up the road from some of his relatives here in Greene County. I believe he may have grown up in Jason. I know he went to Greene Central. Don't quote me on that, but if he didn't grow up in the community of Jason in between Snow Hill and LaGrange, he wasn't far from it. Would have liked to have taken part, but unfortunately, I couldn't.
And as we have up on the screen, thank you very much, Bubba Rosamond, producing behind the scenes Thursday show. We'll have head coach Rafael Serrato, Cliff Godwin, senior reliever Matt Bridges, and catcher Seth Cadell. And that'll be getting you ready for this weekend as the Pirates have a homestand. Finally, college baseball is here. So thank you very much, Bubba.
And what debuts? Sunday, Dave?
On Sunday?
I'm guessing it's on Sunday. Maybe it's on Saturday.
I'm drawing a blank. Help me out.
Extra innings.
Yeah, we talked about that. I thought you were talking about ECU related. I was trying to figure. Yes, Sunday, next level.
That is ECU related, Dave.
I know, but I'm talking about. I thought you meant that there was something else in addition, not our show. No. Extra innings with Corey Glore. We have him, and it's extra innings brought to you by Next Level Training Center on. That's on Wimbledon Drive, and Trent Brett. We're going to see if we can get him on Thursday. By the way, fans, pgxgloves.com. They're a great sponsor for 23 Jungle Tales. So much going on right now. And we'll see if we can, our D1 preview, go back and listen to that for the state of North Carolina.
And Dave, are you going to take your training to the next level?
I will. I definitely will.
I'm going to level up, baby. Level up.
All right. Well, let's do it. Thanks very much to Coach Mac McCarthy. Appreciate him very much. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Bubba.
Davis, before you sign off, I missed the whole beginning of the show. Did we touch on the transfer from Temple?
No, we have not. We have not talked. If you want to do that real quick, and then we'll get out of here.
Tight end from Temple. Forgive me, I should know his name. He went to North Lenoir, right up the road from me.
He is coming. Wow.
Yeah, tight end. Oh, you didn't know about that, Dave. Yeah, tight end.
I haven't heard that yet. Yeah.
He played in, I can't remember how many games he played in Temple. I'm doing it. Bubba, are you producing? Help me out. His name. But he played at North Lenoir. He was at Temple the last couple years.
Aaron Jarman.
Yes. He is a sophomore, but is set to graduate as a sophomore this spring. And so I guess he'll technically come in here as a grad transfer. Looking forward to having him. Wanted to be a Pirate coming out of high school. Unfortunately, was not afforded that opportunity by Scotty Montgomery, but he gets a chance now.
3 years to play.
That tight end room is loaded. It is loaded all of a sudden.
I'm happy about that. I love that position, and we're finally bringing back, thanks to Coach Houston, will help us win the running game and other offensive weapons. So good to hear that. All right. Well, good to have him, a local kid, coming back and playing in Dowdy-Ficklin. A dream come true to play in Dowdy-Ficklin, he said. So that'll be fantastic. All right. Again, for Coach Mac, Bubba Rosenbaum on air and producing. And you've been watching and listening to The Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and go Pirates! Up and lean side to side, set tone with your body.